Yo,
Hello, hello. How you doing?
how are you doing?
I'm all right, thanks very much. I'm all
Good,
right.
good.
Right, we've got a packed episode, so we'll keep this brief.
It is going to be a busy episode. I've just realized
Yes.
that.
But first of all, I just want to mention one thing which is happening not too far away from you, Wes, which is the Vegan Animal Rights Conference, which is in Manchester on April the 13th and 14th. It's the UK's first animal rights conference, and we're going to be speaking to one of the organisers, Roberta, over the summer, who's going to tell us a bit more about what has happened in this one and what's planned for future events.
Wow.
But seeing as this is going to be streaming before the event, you can find them on their website or on social media, and you can book tickets and see the list of guest speakers, etc. It looks very interesting. On Instagram, it's called VAR Conference, which, if you're a football fan, you might think it's about goal line technology or whether someone was offside or not, but it is actually Vegan Animal Rights Conference. So check that out.
Awesome. Although
Yeah.
hopefully some people might get tricked into it and then become vegan.
Oh, imagine that. You're only
How
vegan
did you
and then
be
you
how
win
did you
in.
become vegan? Well, I saw this thing and then I didn't know what it was and now I'm vegan, so yeah,
Yeah.
brilliant.
Yeah. Sing when you're vegan. Okay. Good. All right. So we said it's a packed show. So why don't we kick off with a chat with our friend Jake, aka Plant Geezer, who spoke to us about his recent activism where he spent some time on the front line with Joey Carbstrong and Molly Elwood. Welcome back, and thanks for
Thank you,
joining
man.
us.
Pleasure, my pleasure.
I saw some Instagram posts and recognized a face, and I thought, you know what? That's got to be Jake. Let's get him on and tell us all about, first of all, activism with Joey Carbstrong. How did that come about?
Yeah, my how did it come about now? I think someone sent me a post that it was in the local area, and it comes as a shock, really, because usually everything's down London, isn't it? Or other parts of the world. And I thought about my friend. It was on a weekday, and I thought I'll give my mate Adam a call, but then I realized he's always working, especially lately. He's doing a lot of long shifts. And just as I thought about it, he sent me the picture and he said, "Are you up for it?" And I was like, "Oh, okay, yeah, 100%, man. Let's go and do it." And it was a cold, wet, horrible morning to fit the scenes around, and it was a bit grim. And what we saw didn't really come as a shock, really. It was horrible. It wasn't a nice thing to see in the flesh. It was my first ever one, really, where you've seen it, where I've seen it live. And I'm sure you saw the video of the pig's head. And it was just, yeah, it was a good experience in terms of, meeting people. And we met Mel and Steve, we met Joey, we met Tarion. And it was good. Just, yeah, to be honest, to say it was such a small, like a small vigil, there was quite a lot of people there, to be honest. It was freezing cold, it was wet, but it was just good to have to see people in the flesh, and to kind of experience it in the in real life,
Yeah, not just seeing it
despite
on an
the
Instagram feed.
it was a good experience. Yeah.
Magic. Okay. And you said at one point you were climbing in a window, is that right?
Oh, what, that was the day after. Yeah, there was one in Birmingham, and we turned up 5 minutes after they left for the convoy, with the row of cars, and we didn't know where it was, and we were seeing all the videos, and we were like, oh, we need to find out where it is. So we luckily got in touch with one of the lads we met the day before, and he sent us the address, and it was about 25 miles away. So we bombed it straight there, and as we turned up, they were just being kicked out of the actual place, and unluckily the police station was next door, so they'd already had a warning, everyone who was in there. But me and my mate Ozzy, we saw an open window, so we climbed in, and to be honest, it was quite sick what we found in there, because it it was like they had all pig pictures on the wall, as though it was like a family portrait of these pigs, and they had like signs in there saying, you know, these are our standards, welfare standards, and all this, which, as we found out lately, is just complete
bollocks,
bullshit.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So it's quite sick when you, and the thing that kind of registered with me was some of these staff probably don't even know what goes on, because it's almost like, yeah, the people at the top have put these pictures in there, and, you know, oh yeah, we treat the pigs kindly and everything's fine, and when it just blatantly isn't. So that one was a little bit more tasty. The you know, the police were there, and I think we got the message through quite well. I say we, it's not like I got on the, you know, on the speakerphone, but Joey, Steve, and a couple of the other activists, you know, they got on and got the message across quite well. And fantastic. Hopefully the staff in there and the police, definitely after speaking to them, I think they kind of got a picture of what really is going on, you know. So
brilliant.
How did you like feel afterwards when you sort of closed off from it all?
It's hard to explain, really. I mean, it was good to kind of, like I said, be amongst the other people and you know, have that, you know, that sense of it, like a community where it's, you know, pretty much is good against evil. But the one thing that stood out for me was speaking to the police, you know, because as people were there and they were shouting and, you know, they're holding signs up and stuff, I kept nipping over to the back where the police were standing. And three or four times, you know, I asked the police, I said, you know, what do you think of it? And the police always try and get out of it by saying, oh, I'm just doing my job. But I said, you know, that isn't what I asked. I said, but personally, what do you think of this? And a really good response. Three or four of them, you know, they said, yeah, I'm definitely going to watch it. It's made me think, kind of thing. And because they have to stand there all day. I mean, we were there for 6 hours and I think the other people were there for longer. So they had to stand there all day and they haven't really got a choice but to absorb what is being said. So
yeah,
it was a good reaction from the police, and you know that they're going to go home and watch it from what I gathered, and you know, you don't know where that's going to lead. So it was good to kind of speak to them. There wasn't really anybody else there to speak to, but but yeah, it was good to meet Joey in the flesh as well, and you know, he shook our hand and he said thank you, and
nice,
you're welcome anytime. Probably because we were climbing through the windows and stuff, but but yeah, we thought we'd have a look inside, and if we get a slap on the wrist.
That's a really interesting point that you made a couple of minutes ago about the people who work there not necessarily knowing everything that goes on, because obviously the people who are on the death floor know what's going on because they're doing it. But what about all the sort of back office people like HR, finance? Mm. You know, it's a business. It's got to have all of that stuff. Do they really know what it is that they're supporting?
Health and safety.
Exactly.
It's interesting because
what do they think happens?
I suppose that they know what the industry is. I suppose they're just kind of blind to it, as maybe before we started seeing it. You know, they're probably just thinking, oh, you know, they get killed and it's all good, and you know, it's not.
They get killed
evil,
with hugs, so it's all fine.
Yeah, quick bullet, and they probably just think, you know, as we probably
thought,
as
we
was,
all but, used to think, yeah.
But the first one in Wolverhampton, the boss came out, and you could tell by their faces, you know, they in this small one, which was Gills, I think it's called Gills, it was on a lot smaller scale. It was where it was kind of, you know, like 10 staff rather than 60, 70, 80 staff. So you could tell by their faces, you know, there was a little bit of guilt. One bloke even, you know, he kind of gave us a look and a bit of a comment, as if to say, you know, I don't want to get involved, but I understand. The boss came out with his what I suspected it was his daughter, and they just didn't know where to look. And when they kicked the pig's head under the truck, I think even the police were a bit disgusted by that. You know what I mean? There were kids walking past to school and stuff like that. So
yeah.
It's just a nasty place to be, and I think by the look on the staff faces, I think they kind of got the picture and they understood as well. But
yeah,
who knows what financial position they're in?
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah. All right. So then the next thing we know, you're popping up in Birmingham City Centre, offering people samples of dog meat.
Yeah, that was it was good fun. I know I shouldn't really make a fun situation about the old movement and what it stands for, but yeah, I had a message off there was a lad who I met, in Birmingham, and he the week before or 2 weeks before, and he knew Molly personally, I think, from Elwoods. I know that you've had her on the podcast, and she dropped me a message, and he put me through to her. She dropped me a message and she said, "Would you like to do it?" And I said, "Yeah, man, like it's half an hour away. I'll pop up definitely and give you a hand." And it was good fun. I think, I don't know if I did I show you the video of the aggressive man and the other one, and there were a couple of nasty reactions, but 95% of the people, we had some good talks,
Brilliant.
some good, we had people calling themselves hypocrites and stuff and saying, "Yeah, I understand what you're doing and I understand the message." Some people, it just didn't even click. The penny didn't even drop with some people that you ask them if they want some dog meat and they just go, "Oh yeah, I'll try a bit," you know what I mean? Not even thinking of what it is they're eating. They just see it as a
A little treat.
like a treat. Yeah, it's crazy.
Oh my God.
It was interesting to
But they're
do,
the
and
people you're
it
never going to
yeah.
change, aren't
No.
they? That's
No.
true. That's true.
No. Some people were just happy to be fed, I think. They were just like, "Oh, free food," without
Free
even
food, yay!
thinking about it. Some people were like, "Oh my God, I've got dogs." And I was like, "Yeah, I had dogs, until we chopped them up fresh this morning. We butchered them up early. It's all, they were killed young, so the meat is tender and stuff like that." And
Brilliant.
it was good to see the reactions, and also it was good to see how many vegans and vegetarians, I probably shouldn't say the second one, but still a little bit better
Still counts.
to meet them. And we met quite a few, and they were good. They were like, "Yeah, we're spreading the message, we're doing what we can," kind of thing. So it was good to meet a few of them, which I didn't
Fantastic.
expect to. But
Yeah, that's
yeah, it was good
awesome.
fun.
And good to meet some more, like you say, more vegans and out at the coal face doing the hard work. And Birmingham City Centre on a Saturday afternoon, I mean, that's chock-a-block, isn't it, along there? So
Yeah, yeah,
great
yeah.
great
Yeah.
visibility.
It was a good experience, really, because I haven't done nothing like that before. And Molly, what Molly's like, you've met her, she's quite chilled, quite laid back, and a good laugh, and she's done it all over the world, hasn't she? She's been to quite a few places. So it was quite weird to see around here and to face the hard faced people of Birmingham and what they had to say. But yeah, one man, I don't know if you've seen the video, knocked the dog food out of our hand, and
Wasn't having that, was he?
he did apologize, and
Wow.
then he came around and apologized. And but it's kind of opened my eyes to doing it now. It's kind of give me the idea of doing something like that, because it's easier than I thought, really. I don't know if I
Now
expected
you've taken
more.
that step.
Yeah, yeah,
It's
yeah, yeah.
the
I think.
think the thought of it is harder than doing it, isn't
Yeah,
it? That's the
definitely. Yeah,
thing.
because I know what some people can be like around here, and I know, there's quite a few bad eggs, as is that they're everywhere. But I just expected more of a nasty response, I suppose, and we didn't really get that from the majority. So it was quite refreshing to get that response, when I didn't expect it.
I think you
Awesome.
we expect that, don't we? Because of the that's what we see in the activism posts. We see a lot of the people being arseholes to the activist, and
Can be
I think
quite
that's the
off-putting.
expectation. But actually, you see 100 people, you might only get one of them.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. And I think a lot of people will show that footage, won't they, too? Because it's likely going to grab attention, isn't it?
Yeah,
So
of course, yeah.
but no, I was pleasantly surprised. And have you thought about
Fantastic.
yourselves doing anything like that,
Well, I'd
or?
love to do it. I'd love to do it. I signed up for Anonymous a couple of years back, but I was working a weird shift, so I couldn't do it. I suppose I could chase that up again really now, but doing that or doing a vigil. I've always wanted to do a vigil, as heart wrenching as I imagine it would be. I'd love to do it. The only thing it up in Manchester where I am, it was the vigils that got one of the biggest slaughterhouse in Manchester shut down.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they actually shut down about 6 months ago, I think. Loads of people lost their jobs.
Oh, quality. So that was
Sorry.
the Manchester Big Save, was it?
Sorry. Yeah, it was Manchester Pig Save. I can't remember what the company was now. I can't remember what they were called, but yeah, it was due to the well, we can take that it was down to the
Take it.
activism that got it shut down.
Definitely take it.
Quality. Yeah, it's good news.
But yeah,
Awesome.
no, I've never done it. I would love to, but I just haven't got around
Yeah,
to it.
yeah, yeah. Awesome.
I suppose when you've got kids and stuff, it's time becomes
Yeah.
less. I mean, I haven't got kids myself, and it's still hard to kind of get a spare day, isn't it? And I can imagine, when you've got kids, it's quite hard. But
That's it.
no, well, I mean, if you ever do
One day.
pick a day,
We'll get there
let me
one
know,
day.
man. Yeah, definitely. I'll do everything I can, especially after that. It's give me a bit of a. Bit of a kick to
Yeah.
do it again, man. Do you
Bit
know
of
what
a
I mean?
boost.
So, yeah.
Fantastic. Well, thanks so much, Jake. That's really awesome. It's
Yeah, cheers, Jake. Nice to see you again, man.
great to see
Yeah,
you
and you. It's
again.
good
I
to
was
see
just
you.
gonna say.
And yeah, thank you, man. It's
And
my pleasure. How is it all?
we'll look forward to seeing more of your activism as it unfolds.
Yeah, man. Hopefully, we'll see
Awesome.
what happens. And yeah, I'll do what I can. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Cheers, Jake. That was amazing, as always. He was a legend before he was a legend today.
That's a good one. Pre-legend. Pre-existing legend. Yeah. So, before we speak with Tom from I Could No Never Go Vegan, it just remains for us to say, get in touch, come and find us on Instagram, or perhaps drop us an email. How would you do that, Wes?
Just drop us an email, howiveganpodcast at gmail.com.
That's perfect. Thanks so much for joining us, Tom. I can only imagine how much of this you're doing at the minute, and how crazy it must be as you're getting close to the premiere in what are we looking at now? Three and a bit weeks, is that?
It is, yeah. It's definitely getting a bit hectic, but I mean, it's great, and I'm thrilled that so many people want to do this sort of thing and help us, because it all makes a difference in hopefully us extending the reach and promoting it further. So, yeah, I'm really excited about it, and the more I
Awesome.
do, the slightly better I get at answering things. So.
We'll see. We'll see. I saw our friend Michelle from Veg Your Best has posted about talking to you as well. Hopefully, we don't ask you the same questions that she asked. But we'll see. You'll feel like a
No, sure.
proper film director there when you just go around this press tour and everyone asks you the same things. And by the
Yeah.
end of it, you're fed up. Anyway, I've got a little intro to do, if that's all right. In this episode, we're speaking to Tom Pickering, writer and director of the forthcoming movie, I Could Never Go Vegan. Tom is a lifelong vegetarian and vegan, so he's never eaten meat. In the movie, he explores possible reasons for people's reluctance to go vegan. He speaks to some influential vegans and athletes, and the movie is executive produced by Alicia Silverstone and Heather Mills. And will be in
Wow.
selected cinemas from in the UK from April 18th. And as if that wasn't enough, Tom is also a member of Vegan Runners. So we've got that in early, Wes, because I know how you love it when we talk about Vegan Runners. So welcome, Tom. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me. It's my pleasure to be here.
So tell us all about I Could Never Go Vegan.
It was quite a mammoth undertaking, if you like. It's been a pretty much a 4-year process.
Wow.
Started out as generally actually a different project, really. And I'll be honest, I didn't really have the proper sort of overview of what I thought it could be. Luckily, my brother is a writer and producer, and I kind of just reached out to him and I was like, "Look, I've got this idea. I knew I wanted to do something for the vegan movement, and obviously, I'm coming from a film background. I thought, can I combine these two things and actually tell a story that focuses on veganism in general, and maybe put a different spin on it. Because of my upbringing, I thought maybe that was a slightly unique angle. And then after sort of bouncing it around for a while with James, my brother, we decided, you know, there's so many people that say I could never go vegan. You know, why do they say that, you know, they can never go vegan? I mean, it's pretty much something actually everyone who says before they go vegan, don't they? I'm pretty sure I said it at one point.
Yes.
And then it's like, I wonder if these excuses are justified, or can we speak to the people to find out? And so it kind of started from there. And then before we knew it, it turned into this huge, huge project that's, I mean, it's been a lot of fun. And luckily we reached out to so many incredible people who are actually in the film. And pretty much every single person we spoke to, we reached out to all these various experts in their field. They are like, you know, the best of the best in terms of the advice and what they know and the knowledge they have. And they pretty much all said, yeah, we'd love to be in it. And so we couldn't be happier about that. And I think that's one of the great things about the vegan movement, that when people are passionate, aren't they? You know, they, if it means you can promote veganism, usually people will say, yep, count me in. So it took us on this huge 4-year journey. We went around, there was a pandemic in the middle of it all, which actually in a weird way kind of helped, because it meant we had to strip everything back, like in terms of crew. And we had a, you know, a not the biggest budget in the world, shall we say. I mean, it was a reasonable budget for what we were trying to do, but it was certainly not a big budget. So it meant that actually, for the most part, we had what you would call a skeleton crew, where we'd go in one car from place to place. What? And that was pretty much how we managed to do it. Because I have my own sort of production company, I kind of just wore a few different hats, if I'm honest, and took on the role of cinematographer as well, which I kind of do for documentaries anyway, because it helps to be like a self-shooter and just makes your life a bit easier. But it definitely got quite challenging when we realized that we were doing a bit too much ourselves. But again, going back to how wonderful people are in the movement, it was always very informal. And I think people appreciated that. So basically everybody we filmed, we're still chatting with regularly today. We formed this amazing friendship as well. So that's a lovely thing. And 4 years later, we got to this point right now where the film's about to come out next month. And I am very, very thrilled and relieved as well.
Yeah, I bet. Fantastic. So I mentioned that you've got some big names sort of behind it as executive producers. They're the ones who put up the money, I'm guessing. Alicia Silverstone and Heather Mills. Were they targeted because of their vegan sort of activism, or was that, did that come about another way?
Yeah, it's interesting, is film in general. There's two different types of executive producer, really. There is the executive producer that will put up the money, and there's the executive producer that is attached to a project to help basically push it as far and as wide as it can go. And they sometimes will still put up money, but sometimes they actually don't. And it's more that it's like an agreement that we could, you know, you will use their name and they will promote it, and they'll come to, you know, red carpet events, and they'll do the necessary press stuff for you. So it's, and that's, this is a really common thing. This isn't just something that would happen on a vegan film. It would happen on basically any kind of film you could have think of. So we had a bit of a mixture of those two things. The big names that you'll see attached to the film, we effectively reached out and kind of said what we were trying to do. We had to show the film to them. We then had to agree what kind of thing they could do to help us in terms of promoting it. As long as they liked what they saw, they were happy to attach themselves. Yeah. And thankfully, everyone did. And then that's kind of how that came around with Alicia and with Alyssa White Gloves as well. Alyssa White Gloves is kind of also because I'm a massive heavy metal fan, so that was a big one for me.
Fantastic.
And Heather Mills, I actually bumped into at Veg Fest, so I was doing a talk there, and I was like, oh, this seems like too good an opportunity to...
It's meant to
I
be.
I was one of those people, I was like, Heather, we've got a film coming out, I think you'll be interested.
Brilliant.
Probably heard that all the time. So, but yeah, she watched it and she loved it, and she's been incredibly helpful as well. And same with Peter Egan, who's obviously a famous actor, and they're all just so lovely and care so much that basically they can't do enough, and it's wonderful.
Fantastic.
That is amazing.
That's so exciting. And I saw today you posted that there's only a handful of tickets left for the two premieres that you're doing in London and Sheffield. And they've got Q&A, is that right, both of them? Or just the
Yeah,
London
so
one?
There's the premieres have got Q&As and also the screenings in general. So everything at the moment has got a Q&A after. So we're trying to basically almost like take it on tour, if you like. And partly because we want to really like show how wonderful the community is in terms of you know, how much people care when it comes to veganism, and that we're all just generally kind and compassionate people trying to make a difference. And so we're trying to do a bit of that aspect and socialize after. So with every screening, we're having a bit of a get together after where we can just have some really tasty vegan food and talk about, you know, the things, kind of things we can do to help the movement. And yeah, it's going to be really fun, I hope, as long as people like the film. That then it could be a bit awkward, but I'm definitely looking forward to it. In terms of the premieres, I think there's 6 seats left in Sheffield. They pretty much put one on in Sheffield, I think, for me, because I live in Sheffield, and you wouldn't
That
typically have a
makes sense.
premiere up north. And then London, I think there's about, it's a 250 seater in London, and there's maybe 30 seats left at the moment. So if they sell out, which I'd like to think they will, or at least I really hope they will. They're even talking about putting on an additional screen, so which could be
Wow.
interesting. Yeah, and almost like we'd take over the cinema, so that's quite cool.
That'd be cool.
That's really cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
That is really cool. So I was going to ask about Sheffield, because Sheffield's a big vegan city, isn't it? It's one of the probably top 3 or 4 in the UK for vegans. It turns out it's because you live there rather than surely there's a mixture there.
Yeah, no, it definitely is a really big vegan city. There's 2 universities there, and I think that helps as well because the demographics are quite varied, which is always a nice thing. And there's just loads of different really cool areas. You know, I would use the word, don't use the word often, but I'd probably say like the hipster style area. But I find that that's great for vegan food. So, and there's people like, I don't know if you know Ollie Sykes, who is the lead singer of Bring Me the
Bring Me the
Horizon.
Horizon.
Yeah, so he's got a restaurant there, and actually it's
Oh, the
called
church, that is, isn't it?
yeah, Church Temple of Fun.
Yes.
Yeah, so I mean, I go there all the time, it's fantastic. But they're for the Sheffield screening, they're actually like partnering up, and we're doing a bit of an after party there, and they're going to name a
What?
cocktail after us, which I mean, that's incredible. As soon as they told me that, I was like, yes, this is it, this is probably a career highlight.
That's fantastic. You've made it
That is
now.
Incredible.
Yeah, so but there's a lot of places like that in Sheffield. It's definitely a good city for veganism, and I think it's kind of evident that the screening there sold quite quickly, which is always really nice as well.
Yes, that's fantastic. Awesome. So what other cities
Smoothie.
are you going to then? I'm assuming there's going to be a bit of Brighton perhaps, and Bristol maybe, or somewhere like that.
There is. Now, I have a list, so I came prepared. So we have obviously the big ones like London and Sheffield, which are the first two that where the film is screening. We also have Brighton, Brixton, Lewes, Bath, Hackney in London, Cambridge, Norwich, Falmouth, Liverpool, Edinburgh, Henley. We're looking at also then adding York, Leeds, and potentially one or two others. I think Bristol, because Bristol's, by all accounts, a really great vegan city as well.
Surely
So
Kettering as well. Surely Kettering.
is that where you live, by any chance?
Yeah, I mean, I mean, it's such a big vegan place. There's no vegan cafes, no vegan restaurants. Your best bet is probably Prezzo in the town centre. That's it.
Oh, wow. Yeah, well, that could be an interesting experiment, maybe.
No,
See
please
who
don't.
turns up.
And the cinema shit. So.
Oh.
It's a really ropey
Okay.
one. It's
Yeah.
like sitting about a meter away from the screen is rubbish. So don't come to Kettering. But
I'm not even going there with Rochdale.
But
Yeah,
that's
maybe we'll avoid
exciting
that one.
because it's nice you're going all round so that, you know, people have got the options for where they want to go. And Falmouth as well was a surprise. That was I wasn't expecting you to say that because that's a long way.
Yeah, it's so interesting. I was doing a shoot last week, and somebody happened to live in Falmouth, and they were like, I don't suppose the film's playing at Falmouth. I was like, would you believe it is? And I was like, yes, at least there'll be one person there in Falmouth.
Brilliant. That's good.
Awesome.
Well, we spoke with Sarah last week, didn't we, Wes? It's been recorded, but it's going out after this one. But she's near Falmouth, so maybe she'll be able to go along. That's exciting.
Maybe two people. That's always good.
Two people. Fantastic. Okay. So as a sort of lifelong vegan/vegetarian, obviously you've got a lot of knowledge around the area, but was there anything that came up during the filming that really surprised you, like something one of the experts came out with?
Yeah, the biggest thing actually was, so what I'd done a lot of research just in my own time with regards to like the health side of things. I didn't really need convincing when it came to like animal welfare. And I think that's the one argument that it's hard for anyone to dispute that. It's like, just look at what goes on, and it's horrendous. But the thing that I did find that I was learning quite a lot was with regards to the environmental side of things. And particularly, we had some great people like George Monbiot, who, he knows his stuff. And he remembers everything as well. I remember when we turned up to film George, he'd just written his book, Regenesis. And he said, you know, you've got me at the best time because I've literally just written a book and I've got it all in my head. I was like, do you need any notes or do you need any talking points? I said that before, and he's like, no, I don't need anything like that. I was like, okay. Look, we just turned up. It didn't matter what we asked him. He was just reeling off stats and all sorts, and kind of blew me away. But everything you were saying, I was like, we could use everything you've said for 2 hours in this film. I was like, it's amazing. So I definitely learned a lot, because that kind of sent us on a journey of figuring out all sorts with regards to debunking the myths around just land use and there's no such thing as regenerative grazing and the buzzwords that the industries use and actually just what things like eutrophication and acidification even mean, because they get thrown around. But I wonder if people even actually realise, you know, the level of destruction with regards to what they can do and when it run off into the rivers. And basically, we went and started even testing, like, you know, for how polluted certain waters are, and the River Wye being a good example. And that was because George sent us there. But that it was a real eye opener, was that part. So, and that's kind of how I think, I hope at least, even if you're a vegan, I think you'll probably get something from the film, because we cover such a variety. And that's why I think it feels a bit different to maybe other vegan films. And also we try and do it, I hope, in a way that's quite engaging, but entertaining and funny at times, but then also very serious when it needs to be. And so tonally, we're trying to get a nice balance that hopefully there's a bit of something for everyone there. And it's not just like, oh, brutal, you're gonna see the worst of the worst. Or it's not that we're not taking things seriously. It's just trying to find what might work for the widest general audience.
Yes, that's it. And that's a good angle. Oh, it's a different angle to take, because obviously recently we had Pignorant come out, the Joey Carbstrong film, which is the brutal side, absolutely brutal. So, and that, although it was a horrible watch, it's a necessary watch, but that's not going to get everybody. So we do need a broad spectrum, don't we, to make sure that we get as many people as possible on board.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing. And there's definitely a place for those documentaries as well. And I haven't watched Pignorant yet, but I think I saw the trailer and I thought it looked fantastic. And I will check it out. But you're right. I think sometimes there are people maybe who will almost like switch off before they've even started that, because it's like, oh no, I can't put myself through this, which I always find quite funny. It's like, if you can't even watch it, imagine what it's like for the animals going through it, you know.
Yeah,
I would have been exactly like that before I went vegan. That would have been me. I would not have watched it, because I would have known it would have just broken me. So it was just like ignorance is bliss kind of thing. I don't want to know what happens, because then it will make me do something. You know what I mean? Like, I'll have to make a decision. Am I going to accept it, or am I going to not eat meat anymore? So
I think that's the thing. I think most people go through that as well, don't they? Because it's like, once you've seen it, you can't really justify it anymore. And then you start questioning your own morals, and you're like, well, what does this make me a really bad person now? Because I am aware and I'm still not doing anything about it.
Yeah.
And people, I guess, don't want to be in that situation because it makes them uncomfortable.
That's it. That's it.
I was thinking when that whole I couldn't go vegan thing. When you first said about it, I was thinking, I obviously said it because we all said it. I remember saying it, but I can't remember now why I would have thought that. And I think, like you're saying there, it is that it would have been around the having to justify your actions then, having to see in front of you and go, yeah, okay, I've got to make a decision now. And that was uncomfortable. But at the time, I was just like, nah, it's not happening. I'm not going to do it. And now we're the other side of the fence and you're like, ah, crap.
I can tell you the last time I said I could never go vegan. I can remember it really clearly. I was standing in my kitchen and it was 6 years ago this very week. And my wife said to me, Wes has gone vegan. And I was like, what? Wes? You really mean Wes? Mr. Meat? And she went, yeah, he's gone vegan. I was like, I couldn't do that. And then found out what it was. And it was a vegan film that had turned him. And I watched it and I was like, yeah, there we go. I'm going vegan.
What film was it, out of curiosity?
Cowspiracy.
Yeah, that gets a lot of people, does that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm really hoping that yours will do that for like the next bunch, if you like, you know, something that'd
be amazing.
That'll bring veganism to more people.
Yeah, I mean that would be incredible. That's obviously what we want. And the end goal is to reach non-vegans. So I appreciate that vegans, because we're such a passionate bunch, vegans will certainly help, because we still need vegans to watch the film and kind of word of mouth and to push it out to people. But ultimately, it's the non-vegans that we want to reach, because otherwise, you know, what's the point?
Yeah.
We're trying to make a difference.
Otherwise, it's just an echo chamber, isn't it? And it's... But having said that, you know, and going back to Pignorant, I learned things in that I can use in future arguments. So... Watching a vegan film as a vegan is still important, because, you know, you mentioned all the things that George Monbiot has mentioned. So hopefully I can remember like 1/10 of the things that he comes out with, and, you know, we'll be able to use that. So it's good for reference for us in our conversations with other people as well.
I think it is, definitely. Yeah. And that's why I still watch the vegan films as well, because you can never know everything, can you? So you're always going to learn something. And it's also just interesting how there are different ways to communicate as well, aren't they? Yes. So, I mean, Joey Carbstrong's obviously an interesting one, because if you compare Joey to, say, like an Earthling Ed type, they're obviously both great at what they do, but very different approaches. And so I find it, even that, I find quite fascinating. And there's someone in our film called Dr. Melanie Joy, who you may have heard of. And she's a psychologist and sociologist, based in America, from America. But she's incredible. And like the way that she can get across certain points, she can do it in a way. I mean, she's like mastered the art of communication. She can do it in a way where actually you're so receptive to what she's saying, even though you might... at the time, perhaps it's something that you wouldn't have agreed with, but then you leave there just thinking about it, and it's playing on your mind, and it's a real gift to be able to do that. And so that's kind of what I'm now like striving to do. And that's, again, what we tried to do with the film, was because we don't want to anger people so much that they turn it off. We want people to get to the end and then just to think, you know, we've hopefully planted a seed, and then they'll take that with them. And even if they don't go vegan overnight, hopefully it'll sit with them, and eventually they'll start making positive changes. And so I think there's an element of encouraging that as well, because of course we want everyone to go vegan overnight, but we have to be realistic in the world we live in, and you know that it's just not as simple as that, sadly. So yeah, there's a real art form to that. And again, going back to the vegan docs, that's another thing I always take from it. So hopefully other vegans watching it will still get something like that.
Fantastic. And so it's going to be sort of limited release around, like you said, around the UK. Any plans for wider distribution?
Yeah, so it's definitely going to be distributed wider. It will be distributed worldwide. We're currently figuring out what that looks like at the moment, because to get into like the business side of film, you either go territory by territory or you just do like worldwide rights. But it's a really complex process, which I never really realized how complicated and time consuming it was before. And so we've kind of got stuff lined up. Then we think we know what's happening, but I'm reluctant to say, because it's I know sometimes that it might not be 100%, and then people will be like, "Well, you said to me." So, but yeah, it will definitely be going worldwide, and the end goal is obviously a streaming platform as well.
And then, this time next year at the Oscars.
Well, that would be amazing, wouldn't it? But
best film that changed the world.
yeah, that should be the category.
Yeah, we'll start a petition.
Yes.
Best film that changed the world. Fantastic, awesome. So I mentioned in the intro, Tom, that you've been vegetarian slash vegan your whole life. What's the well, normally we ask, when did you become vegan? But I guess it's always almost always been the case for you, having been vegetarian since. But what's the backstory?
Yeah, so my parents went veggie when they had my brother, and he's 2.5 years older than me. So they kind of decided that they were going to raise us without meat, so meat free. So that was the same for me. I never really knew any different. It was just normal. But the weird thing was, I didn't really also understand the reasoning. It was more like I just never even considered it. So it wasn't necessarily that I would say to people, "Oh, yeah, no, I'm vegetarian." And then, I mean, the idea of eating meat did freak me out a little bit. Like, I thought the whole process was quite gross, and I think that was because I'd never eaten it. But other than that, I never really, I didn't say to people as a kid, "Oh, yeah, I'm very much against factory farming or against this, that," because I had no concept of it really. It was only when I got a bit older, and I was really into sports. I was playing a lot of sports. I was doing a lot of weightlifting and things. And I remember people would always try and say to me that like, I'd be at a disadvantage. And for a while, like I kind of believed that. Obviously, never ate meat, but what I would do is I would have a lot of like cow's milk, thinking I'd need the whey protein, or try and make up for that, or I'd have compensate with eggs or something. So, still obviously veggie, but I was having animal products. Then I got to a point where I realized that whey and milk, actually, I was like, why do I always feel awful when I'm down in these protein shakes? And so I was like, I'm gonna do a bit of an experiment. So actually I did that first, and it was like an overnight transformation. So I would say I did that before I actually went vegan, though, because I hadn't yet identified with like the ethics of veganism. And then I sort of stumbled across, and I couldn't even tell you how it happened. I stumbled across some very disturbing animal welfare footage, and I saw some things, and I was like, "Oh no, that is truly horrendous." And then I saw things happening to egg-laying hens, and then I saw things with regards to like the dairy industry that just further cemented, "Oh, I've done the right thing here." And then I went like vegan overnight. So that was the process. Kind of began in 2015 for in terms of veganism, but obviously never ate meat before that. But I did have a period where I was probably drinking far too much milk, and it was doing me no good. So that's kind of I guess, the journey. It's different to most people, I suppose, but I still had that moment where I found and discovered veganism, and I still had that feeling of, "Oh wow, this I can't believe how much better I feel just for not drinking cow's milk." So that was a big thing. I can't imagine what it must feel like to go from like eating meat as well. And how that resonates with your body, particularly if you jump straight to Whole Foods, which I did. I was super healthy as a vegan at first. Not quite as healthy now, but
Well, you didn't have much option back then, 2015. It was what, like a cardboardy veggie burger and a horrible vegan cheese.
And the thing is, weirdly, I've never really liked like cow cheese anyway, so I didn't feel the need to replace cheese. And I Yeah, I mean, it never crossed my mind that they would want at some point be like vegan eggs. That was just like a whole, like, I can't picture that that would ever even happen. And look where we are now. What
Yeah.
an amazing time. But I just had to, I kind of felt the benefits of the Whole Foods as well. And I think that's what stuck me to Whole Foods. And I was like performing really well in terms of running and training and everything. And I was like, oh man, I wish I'd done this sooner.
Yeah,
Yeah.
we've all been there.
Yeah, we're all on that page.
Yeah.
That's
So
fantastic.
what
I
do you
love
think, is the best thing about being vegan?
Well, I mean, it's interesting because I think it changes your entire outlook on life. And I think typically what tends to happen is you never really look at anything the same again. So on the one hand, you almost feel like you're enlightened, but on the other hand, you end up having way less patience, I think, perhaps. Or sometimes certain, you really need to be strong-willed to not constantly be challenging some of your friends and people who you've known your entire life, or family members who are doing things that now actually you categorically disagree with. So that side of it's a challenge, but I think the best thing is knowing that you're, at least to the best of your ability, you are trying to live as kind and as compassionate a life as you can, and that there isn't really any better feeling than that, I don't think. And no, nothing tastes as good as it feels to know that you are trying to do your absolute best. And I'm not saying we're perfect, but at least we're trying to help in whatever way we can. And I think the intent is there, and that's what matters.
Love that. Yes.
Yeah, definitely.
That's it. Like you say, we're not perfect, but we're giving it a good go.
Exactly.
There's nothing better than a hunk of prime Labrador steak, wonderfully marbled. And that is almost entirely dependent on how it's produced. Elwood's Organic Dog Meat has complete control of this entire journey. So I'm here at Elwood's Farm to find out a little more about it.
Welcome to Elwood Farms.
Thank you very much, Elwood.
I hear you do a bit of barbecuing.
I do, a little bit of barbecuing every now and then, yes.
From a chef's point of view, consistency is key for everything.
It doesn't matter if it's a Rottweiler ribeye, a Pyrenees mince, or a lab sirloin.
You can always tell when the dog comes from a place where it was well reared. And every step has to be right, doesn't it? Oh, you should see these guys. So, from an Elwood's point of view, there's complete traceability.
Absolutely. Unrivaled traceability, so it's fine.
Every single piece of dog meat.
Yeah, from pup to farmer's market.
Everything the dog's been fed.
Everything about it.
For each dog?
Yeah. Only Marks and Spencer's and Whole Foods do this.
Where else can people order from?
From elwooddogmeat.com. That's ELWOOD. Dogmeat.com.
For top quality meat from dogs for people, meat that's local, sustainable, and humanely harvested, there's only Elwood's Organic Dog Meat.
They seem pretty friendly, don't they? It's more responsive to me than my kids, to be honest.
This episode is supported by Vegums.
Vegums is a plant-based, eco-friendly gummy supplement brand which is perfect for the whole family.
Vegums are vegan, gluten-free, and made with natural flavours.
And we have a unique discount code for How I Vegan podcast listeners. You can get 20% off any one-time purchase or your first subscription order.
Just enter the code HOW20 at the checkout to claim your discount.
Head to vegums.com for more details.
That's vegums.com.
All right. So, favorite vegan product at the moment? Do you have one as a long-term vegan?
That's a good question. I could be really boring in how I answer this, so I could pick something. I'll pick something that's much like a healthier option, and I'll pick something that's very unhealthy that my wife especially loves. I am actually obsessed with tofu, which some people hate it, and I just can't understand that. So I will say, like, you know, I would eat tofu every day if it was socially acceptable, and I pretty much do actually. So
in different forms.
Yeah, in different forms, yeah. Exactly. You can do all sorts with it. That's the thing.
Block.
Yeah, just like an apple.
Oh, that would be weird.
Yeah, it would be. I'm just carrying around a cold tofu. That would be the boring slash strange answer. But I think if I had to... So I'm not like a big chocolate person, but I do love how good vegan chocolate is now. And so when I do, you know, want occasionally to indulge in that, I think the Nomo brand in particular is fantastic. Those little the Nomo reindeers that seem to be sold all year round, but they just changed to Easter and then changed back to Christmas too early. But I'm okay with that. And so that would be like probably, if I had to say the kind of more exciting product, it would be the little Nomo reindeers.
Yeah. We didn't have Nomo for ages, and I just spotted it recently in our Tesco, and it's amazing. There's different flavours, and it's good chocolate as well.
Oh, it's so good, yeah. Mm. Like, so you've only recently discovered it then?
Yeah, I know. Again, I'm not a big chocolate person, and I wasn't pre-vegan either, but I don't know why I've not had it, really. But all the different flavours. Love it.
Oh, yeah, it's love fantastic.
It. All over
Ouija
it.
Ouija is another one, another fantastic one.
Ah.
Ouija Ouija?
Don't think we have, no.
I've heard of that.
Oh, it's like a truffle. It's the kind of thing you only really eat at like Christmas or something.
Oh, but okay.
It's genuinely fantastic, and it's like four or five ingredients, so it's not even as bad as you think it probably is when you're eating it, because it's really rich. Again, it's not something I would have a lot, but if the mood strikes you, there's probably nothing better.
Excellent.
Sounds like a vegan Ferrero Rocher.
It's different, but there is a vegan Ferrero Rocher now as well, by the Raw brand. Have you heard of them?
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I sound like I'm advertising for all these brands.
They've got plugs in your film, like in the background. Big.
Yeah. I think it's Love Raw, they're called, and they do.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, they do a vegan Ferrero Rocher, and it tastes exactly how I remember Ferrero Rocher is tasting, but it's been so long now it's difficult to say.
Yes, yes. That's very true. It's funny, isn't it? Because to us, they taste like you say, like we remember. But if somebody went from the original one to the vegan one, they'd probably go, nah. But your taste buds change, don't they? And it's just how it goes. But, you know, I'll still take the one that doesn't taste the same. If it means that there's no animals involved.
We do a bit of an experiment in the film for this, actually. We do a taste test, and we get a load of non-vegans to basically try three different dishes and try and guess which one's meat. But little spoiler, because obviously I was never going to serve meat. So none of meat, but they all...
Ah, fantastic.
Boys, effectively.
Oh,
so.
Wicked.
Yeah, so that was quite a fun bit in the film, and I ate a lot of vegan junk food that day.
Well, you got to do it. It's you've got to put yourself through it, haven't you?
It's for scientific purposes.
Yeah, there was four different groups, and I was like, well, I can't see the food go to waste, can I?
No, that would be awful. Oh, someone should remake Super Size Me, but just with vegan junk food. We should do that, Wes. Yeah, we should do that.
Yeah, but I don't know if that would. I don't know if that would.
I don't think that would help the movement. That would not help the movement. Two vegans die of heart attacks and diabetes.
Yeah,
but with a smile on their faces.
Yeah, you didn't. It'd be a good way to go, I suppose.
Yeah, that's it. If you got to go with a smile.
So, what advice would you give to somebody if they came to you asking for said advice? Advice to go vegan. Not just
any advice.
Just general advice, yeah.
Look both ways.
So I would say it's really important to take it one step at a time. So going back to how my obviously ideal outcome would be everyone goes vegan overnight, but I'm realistic in knowing that actually sometimes if people try and do too much too fast, it kind of hinders them. And I've spoke to so many people who actually say, oh yeah, I tried to go vegan 2 years ago, and maybe they are now vegan, but it took them, you know, quite a long time because they basically did it wrong. And what I mean by that is that they just tried to do too much, then they would beat themselves up if they maybe failed, or they slipped up somewhere and had a product that they didn't realize maybe had like milk powder in or something. And it's kind of just understanding that you need to go at your pace, because as long as your intentions are there, like I say, you will get there, and then you'll be like us, where you can't ever picture another way of life. And so it's just about, you know, understanding that and realizing as well, if you've had, say, 30, 40 years of nothing but eating animal products, it will be quite a change as well. And particularly if you go the whole food route, which I think is, you know, I think honestly think is the healthiest way to live, but also your fiber intake will go through the roof. So for 2 weeks, you're probably going to be like, I can't get off the toilet. You know, it can be a bit off-putting. So do it at your own pace.
Yes. So this might be a tricky one, because normally we ask this of people who have, like us, who have been vegan for a lot less time. And so we've been inspired by a person or a couple of people or something. So for our longer serving vegans, it's not always that clear, because it was often before social media and all that sort of thing. But who was your vegan inspiration, or who is your vegan inspiration?
Well, there's so many, I suppose. I'm forever inspired by, you know, the people who are doing the really hard hitting stuff and putting themselves through things, like subjecting themselves to things where I just think that must be awful, but I have so much admiration that they're willing to keep doing that because of what they believe in. But actually, if I remember back, there was a person called Derek Simnett, who's he's based in Canada, and he's just he was like a calisthenics guy. I mean, I think he still is. I used to be kind of obsessed with his stuff, because it was more on the health side of things, and I was quite sort of like envious at like the training and the physique he had and stuff. And so I definitely remember thinking, you know, being inspired by him, because he did a lot of one pot cooking meals as well, and kind of inadvertently taught me you know, how simple vegan food can be, but still really delicious and packed with nutrients. So that was a big one. Then I think it was probably sort of seeing the footage of things like Earthlings and some of the older, really animal welfare focused films. So I guess I would say that the teams behind that, you know, that actually were able to go and do that. And I mean, it's horrendous watching those films, but like it stays with you, and that's kind of the point. So people, that kind of takes me back to those who are willing to put themselves through that, because there's a bigger story that they're trying to tell, and they're trying to make a difference. So, but I could pretty much name a vegan and I'll say, yeah, I feel inspired by them for what they're doing. So
fantastic.
That's really good.
Love that.
So, living in a world surrounded by pro-vegans, carnists, whatever we want to call them, and being this side of the fence, do you have any hope for the future? how do you get through the day today?
I'll be honest. Sometimes it's really hard. I get so. It does. I'd like to say it doesn't get to me, or I've sort of got to a point where I cope with it really well, and I guess like to some extent I have, but it always plays on my mind. I mean, every other day I probably like say to my wife, I'm like, there's just no hope for us, any of us, like humanity. We're completely doomed, like, you know, because there's always something. But then I kind of remind myself, well, that's more motivation to keep doing what we're doing, because at least, again, going back to the idea that we're not perfect, but we're bloody well trying to make a difference. And, you know, that speaks volumes. And at least I'd rather know that I gave it my best shot and, you know, we still fail, than just think, oh, well, what's the point? Nobody else cares, so why bother? Because I think that's obviously just a terrible way to look at it. So I do, I have to have hope that we can change and that we will change. And I mean, and the thing is, people are changing. It's happening, just maybe not as quick as we'd like. So I have to maintain that level of hope. But I will be honest and say, like, there are days when I'm just, I feel like I'm honestly like speaking to a brick wall in terms of the work I'm trying to do, and I'm just like, I just don't know who I'm actually reaching with this. But then to counter that, I'll suddenly receive out of the blue a message from somebody who I've actually known years, say they were an old school friend or something, and they'll come to me and say, I'm really interested in trying to transition to a vegan lifestyle. Can you help me? And I love it when that happens. And that's another reminder that you absolutely never know who you might reach. It could be the last person on earth you think would ever speak to you about it. And it's like, wow, something I said somewhere like resonated with them. And that's, I always think of that and think, yeah, do you know what? There is hope then because someone's listening somewhere.
And you can do that on a grand scale now with the release of your film. So that's
Yeah, well, that's the hope. That's the power of films, isn't it? And as you mentioned, you both watch Cowspiracy, and that transition, both of you. So that's what happens, I think, typically. I think films are probably the best way for people to like to go vegan, because you can just present so much information in such a concise way, and it just sticks with you.
That's it. Absolutely. It's
I mean, you went like I work in sort of in the care industry, and we always say if we can help one person, that's enough. And if it's I'd suggest it's the same for you. If you put that film out and it makes one person change, then happy days.
Yeah,
You're probably going to
exactly.
make You're probably going to make 500,000 people change, and so on and so on. But yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I hope so. That would obviously be amazing. But I completely understand your point. Yeah, and I think I've said similar things in the past. You know, if I can even just reach one person, then it's worth it, because that it makes a difference. I mean, one person not eating animals for a year, or sorry, one person who's vegan for a year saves 365 animals' lives. So that's a big difference, isn't it?
Yes,
Huge difference, huge
completely.
difference. So what's the plans for after this? Is there I Could Never Go Vegan 2 in the works, or is there what direction are you going in?
So there's a few different things actually. So I will always be working within the sort of activism space. I really like this idea of combining, my love of film with my love of veganism, and it's great that I was able to do that and kind of want to continue that. So I will do in some capacity. I mean, I work quite heavily in the movement in terms of editing and filming for various organizations, but I also have the Running On campaign, which I run, and
Oh, I didn't
that's
realize
basically
you'd run
health and
that.
fit.
Running on
Yeah.
plants. Oh, wow.
Yeah. So that's
Okay.
a health and fitness initiative that just encourages people to basically take up running, to adopt whole plant foods if they can, but at least, veganism in general. And then we have various challenges, and then we have a big challenge in June, which is the 5K challenge that we do. So we've got that coming up in June. So this is really a way for me to try and reach people in a different way, I suppose, because I mean, my motivations are animal welfare. That's the main thing of why I'm, as passionate as I am about veganism. The health benefits are like an added bonus almost, but I understand that sometimes people are more receptive to hearing that rather than for me to go in and say, you shouldn't be eating animals, it's very bad of you to do that. So it's like trying to figure out the best way to speak to people, going back to the art of communication. And I've ran for so long that I absolutely love running, and I just thought, wouldn't it be cool if I can help give people like something tangible where over the course of a month they improve their 5K time. So it's not just a case of, oh yeah, I feel better, which is obviously anecdotal. It's actually, no, I'm 2 minutes faster.
Oh, I
So
like the sound of that. I need to get my park run time down.
yeah,
That's
well,
good.
that'll be happening in June, the
All
5K
right.
challenge, so
I'll
you've
have
got
to
some
give that
time
a
to
go.
prepare for it.
I'll have to give that a go. Awesome. Well, Tom, thank you so much for joining us. That's been fantastic and really interesting. And we really cannot wait to see I Could Never Go Vegan when it's out and about. It's very
Yeah, it's my
exciting.
absolute pleasure. I hope you can check it out at cinema if you're able to.
We'll check the
Local one to
listings
you.
and
Absolutely, yeah. Do my
check
best.
the listings. But and we'll link to it in the show notes as well. People will be able to find it through your through the social media profiles and everything and the website. So very exciting time. So
yeah, thank you so much. I really appreciate you having me. It's been a great chat.
No worries. No problem. Thanks for coming. In. Yeah, and when you're an Oscar winner next year, you can come back and tell us all about it.
Yeah, thank you in my acceptance speech.
Okay, we'll hold you to that.
Well, that was pretty cool speaking with Tom because he might be really famous.
Yeah, I mean that's got the potential to be a massive film, hasn't it? We, you know, traveling around various cinemas and then potentially on streaming platforms, that could get a lot of exposure.
Yeah.
Very exciting.
And by the time we get to our 100th episode, we might have somebody that went vegan because of his film.
Oh, yes. Oh, I love that.
Can you imagine that?
That is fantastic. Yes. Well, we'll keep an eye on that. And if you're listening to this, having watched his film and gone vegan on the back of it, and then you're listening to our episodes in the future, then please let us know. That would be fantastic.
Yeah, that would be good.
Awesome. Now, before we go, we spoke to Marlin a couple of episodes back, and she told us about a friend who she thought had travelled by train to vegan camp out.
Oh, yeah.
Which then transpired to be our friend Martin from Viztopia.
Yes.
So I spoke to Martin and asked him, what's the true story? And he sent us this voice note.
Hey guys, I was asked by Matt and Des to share my experience traveling from Sweden to the UK without using airplanes. Okay, so here it goes. I left early morning from Uppsala with train to the south of Sweden, Helsingborg, which took about 8 hours. So I managed to get a place to sleep and hang out with another vegan, newly found friend and stay there for a couple of nights. Then took the train to Malmö, where I got picked up with a friend who were heading for UK and vegan camp out. We took the car from Malmö to Denmark through Germany, spend the night in a tent. It was raining. Further to Holland, took a little short stop in Amsterdam, and then away to Hoek van Holland, which is the harbor, and ferry over to Harwich, and slept on the ferry. Car from Harwich to Oxfordshire and Bicester with vegan camp out as main goal. After the festival, we took the car north. She was heading to Scotland, and I jumped the wagon at Hebden Bridge and stayed a couple of nights with friends, played music, and walked the beautiful surroundings and nature paths of Hardcastle Crags. Then an afternoon took the train to Manchester and spent the afternoon and evening awaiting furthermore train to Stoke-on-Trent. When I arrived there late evening, it was like 11 o'clock in the evening. I had a 2-hour walk in the middle of the night ahead of me before I reached the destination where I would be picked up by my friend arriving from Ireland. And we needed to do this to kind of make the ferry. So we drove through the night and made the ferry at Harwich back to Hoek van Holland. And then car back again through Holland, Germany, stay the night, and Denmark. And once back in Sweden, I took the a night train from Malmö back to Uppsala, and I did get a completely own place, room or whatever you call it, with all the beds for myself, which was wonderful. Well, anyway, that was the complete journey. So it's possible, but it took a lot of time. The beautiful part of it is that you get to see a lot of the surroundings, the nature, the architecture, which differs from country to country. So I could recommend it, but you should know what you're getting yourself into. it takes a long time.
I now have a link for my Just Giving page for my 10K Manchester run in whenever it is, May, I think.
That's awesome. Good, isn't
it? I'm doing a run. I don't know when it is, but yeah.
Fantastic.
So if you want to give any money to me for that, not to me, to Homestar. But it's not a crowdfunder.
No.
But yeah.
Brilliant. Okay. Yeah. We'll link to that. So that's raising money for Homestar to provide services for people in the Greater Manchester area.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
Awesome.
Well, good.
Good. Cool. All right. Well, then, thanks so much for listening. And we will speak to you next time.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Bye.